Welcome to the provocative world of cis society, where we fearlessly embrace taboos around sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality. This is Taboo Talks, where no topic is off limits. Join us as we expand our compassion and embrace our shadows and light.
Welcome back to Taboo Talks. This month, we are focusing on divine union. And with us to share her potent wisdom, and she has a lot, is Emerald Sinclair. Emerald is a love and manifestation coach who helps her clients to connect with the true desires of their heart and offers them the courage and accountability to take action on their dreams and gives them the practical tools in order to manifest the love of their lives and the life of their dreams. You can find her traveling the world, sharing her wisdom on her podcast, Manifest It All, and creating real life magic along the way. Emerald, I'm so excited that you're here.
Thank you. I am pleased to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's such an honor. I was feeling into your energy earlier today, and what was coming through so strongly was that you're this beacon of clarity. Like, you embody clarity in what you desire and how you live your life, that it's just absolutely contagious to be around. And it's something that showed up in our friendship and in our coaching calls and different moments that we've shared together. And it's such a gift to the world to be around such an embodied woman who like knows what she wants. Like, you know what you want. And that's something that comes up a lot for me. I'm like, I think I know what I want, but do I? And this is coming through a lot now that there's this initiation around the topic of divine union. And I'm curious how you got clear on what you desire and how you encourage others to get clear on what they want in the space of divine union and manifesting their dream partner.
Hey, it's a big question. I'll do my best to answer.
You got it.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Knowing what you want has to stem from a really deep well of self-trust. And so to get what you want, to know what you want, you have to trust yourself. You have to trust these pulls. You have to trust these intuitive urges, so to speak, in regards to I'm going this way. And I think there's too much emphasis around needing to know the end result rather than what potentially feels right as the next, let's say, signpost. And if we use driving as an example, there's all this, I need to figure out the final destination. Like, I'm going to Disneyland, I'm going to New York, like I'm driving to this final destination. But the truth is, and actually, like we were discussing before we hit record, life is going to be a series of I want it and then I get it, but then I want something else and I get it. And I want something else and I get it. I want something else and I get it. And so I believe it's a process of following your intuition, following your desires. And when you follow your desires, when you take action, you're also going to get more and more clarity around, do I want this or not? And so if I use one of my recent new clients, for example, she wants to meet the love of her life. And so she's not really a big fan of online dating. However, we are using online dating right now as a tool to expand the container around, do I really know what it is that I want? How about this? How about that? What if he's older? What if he's younger? What if he has kids? What if he doesn't? What if he does this job? What if he looks like this? And so we expand the net really wide so that it can get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller into a place of truly knowing who you are and what you want. And so the worst thing you could do would be to not take action at all. And even if you take quote unquote the wrong action, you're going to get clarity as a result of moving, of taking action. And so for a woman that's like, I don't know what I want in partnership, go out into the world and date people. You will figure it out quite quickly what it is that you want or don't want, because you'll either be in a position of, I do not like this, and then you have clarity on what it is that you want, or you'll be in a position of, yeah, I like this. This really works for me. And so clarity comes from taking action, because you will know immediately if that's a fit or not.
Yeah, it feels like, it sounds like, or what the vision that's coming through for me is window shopping, right? But you have to leave the house in order to do it. And as you're walking by, you're like, ooh, I like that. Like, oh, that like man has this trader quality that I like really appreciate. Okay, cool. I'm like putting that in my pocket. And then you're walking and you're walking, oh no, not for me. I don't think that'll work, not my color, you know. And then you're continuously kind of just gathering new information throughout the process. But the point is that we have to jump into it and we have to immerse ourselves in it and almost meet our quote unquote manifestations halfway. And like, is that something that you believe in? Like, because there's all this talk around masculine, feminine polarities and energy, and how like women are meant to receive and fully lean back. And for me, like the story around that just looks like me laying in bed and like, I don't know, like the man of my dreams knocking on my front door, you know, like me just doing literally
Right.
nothing. So I'm curious, like, how you navigate that space and like what that balance looks like. Like, how much action do I need to put in and how much are they meeting me, and like what, yeah, how that takes shape.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a great question. I'm going to answer that. And I also want to add on to what you were sharing before when you were talking about window shopping. The energy that you were in was so pure and clean. That's the energy to approach dating for lifelong love. So many women have this energy of angst, of grasping, of like, where's my person? You have to be the one. Or they allow themselves to get so caught up or exhausted by the process, where truly it's just meant to be fun, like fun, positive experiences with human beings. And looking for what's working is going to move you forward in the direction of what you want, versus what most people do is they focus on what's not working. And law of attraction manifestation, since I know we'll probably get into that a little bit, that gives you more of that. It gives you more of what you don't want. It gives you more of what's not working. The universe doesn't play favorites. It's just reading your energy, your focus, your attention. And so if you could have that same energy of, I'm just window shopping. I'm just trying to figure out what it is that I like or what it is that I don't like, while being honest and in integrity with these men or women that you're window shopping with, right? Like, I desire to have a deeply committed relationship. However, I'm not 100% sure of what that looks like. So right now I'm dating to figure that out. So you're always being honest and clear and direct with potential partners. I did want to say that, but I wanted to highlight what you said because it was a really beautiful example that I think most women can resonate with. Like, you don't go window shopping and feel like I need to buy the first thing that I try on. Of course not. Like, you're just trying on a bunch of different outfits and maybe you don't buy any of them, but in the process of trying them all on, you're gonna have clarity, what you like, what looks good on you, what's your fit, what's your style, what's your color. Like, you're gonna figure it out. And there's this paradigm around you have to meet the one and you have to be with them for the rest of your life, or else you are a failure. Thank you, Hallmark and Disney movies. That is not what I believe, and that is not how I teach dating and love manifestation. Relationships are meant to level you up with every single one. And your next relationship could very well be the person you're with for the rest of your life. You could meet your lifelong partner when you're 14 years old in high school, or you can meet the love of your life at 55, 58. Like, my recent client I just signed is 58 years old, and she's ready for the next love of her life because her spouse has passed. And so we're on this journey, and we need to remove this mindset of, I'm a failure if the relationship ended, or you're the best I've ever had, therefore I need to nail it down, or you're the best I've ever had, therefore I could never have better. It's like, no, that's not true at all. Like, last year I had favorite outfits. I don't wear them anymore. They don't suit who I am today. When you and I met in Mexico, I had a whole different wardrobe. I don't wear those clothes here in Denver, Colorado. Doesn't fit with who I am today and where I am today. And so a relationship can be the exact same thing. Now, I realize, however, most women and men, they want that one person to build a life with. But what's not to say that you don't need to have a couple other relationships to prepare you for the one that you're going to go to the distance with? So I think it's really important that we shift that mindset. Now, I go back to answering your question on masculine and feminine energy. That's a can of worms. There's so much we can get into that. But first things first, you cannot just lie on your bed and expect the love of your life to show up and knock on your door, because we live in a physical reality. the manifestation, the visualizing, the affirmations, the healing, the trauma, all the internal work is absolutely necessary. But then it's who you're being when you're taking action. So if you have, let's say, unhealed trust issues around men, and you go out into the world and take action, your actions will be reflective in men who are untrustworthy. Whether you're online dating or meeting them in person, you will see that mirrored back to you. And that's great because you can see where you still have parts of you that are not aligned with unconditional love. However, if another woman has done the work to heal her trust issues and really trust herself and trust men and trust the universe, and she goes out into the world in the exact same town, the exact same online dating apps, the exact same networking events or singles mixers, she's going to meet or attract a completely different type of man who's trustworthy because she's healed it within herself. And so with the masculine feminine polarity and dynamic in relationship, we have both energies. However, we still need to allow our masculine to take action. And if your dominant energy, your vibration in relationship is feminine, then sure, there's different ways that you can show up in your feminine in relationship and while dating. But that also does not mean he's in control. He's the masculine. He's leading. I do whatever it is that he wants. Like the feminine is in control of the feelings, whereas the masculine is much more in control of the direction. And so it's important if you're in that feminine role that you pick a man whose lead you trust. But it's almost like if he's the president, you're the vice president. You still have veto rights based on your feelings. So I say it's a can of worms because there's so many nuances and there's so many ways that we could take this conversation. But if we just boil it down to manifestation, nothing is going to show up in your life just because you're visualizing, just because I'm worthy of it. There still has to be an element of action that's taking. If I'm a coach, right? How would I ever possibly get a client if I didn't do a live stream, if I didn't go out in public, if I didn't tell people that I was a coach? Nobody would know. And so it's the exact same thing with relationship. Even if you're the feminine pole, you still need to go out into the world. You still need to go out on dates. You still need to be open, available, and receptive to receive attention from men in their masculine energy.
Wow. Thank you for all these profound downloads. Like so much of what you're saying resonates so deeply, being someone who was calling in at this divine union partnership for so long. And like, I'm doing all these manifestations, I'm doing all this magic. And I was kind of holding myself back because I was waiting for the perfect one. And I remember one of my good friends was like, you know what? Like, it's a journey. Like you have to start taking steps. And if you're not even like opening yourself up to kiss another man, like how are you going to even be a magnetic match, like a frequency match? And so, yeah, just what you're saying, like taking those steps, kissing some frogs along the way and opening my heart and opening my body when it felt safe, of course, when I felt like I wanted to. But not attaching. I think non-attachment is like a really big underlying theme that I'm hearing through your teachings. Non-attaching when we're dating and also when we enter that union, which I'm in now, still, how can I stay unattached to this needing to be forever and needing to be in the way that I think it's supposed to look, but understanding that it's always an evolution. And I have a question for you around that as well. Like in, I guess it's a two-part question. So how would you define a divine union, maybe versus just like a regular relationship? What makes a union divine? And when you're in that union, I guess, what is it? What qualities are necessary in both partners in order to go the long distance versus it just being another stepping stone on your path?
I love these questions. Okay, thank you. Before I answer them, there was one thing that you were saying about being unattached that I think is important to highlight, which is you can be attached to the vision, be attached to what it is that you want in a relationship, but be unattached to the details, like who and when and how and where. So still hold the vision. Don't ever let that go. But this is your work and not just you, the collective you. Your work is to not get attached to the details that are not your responsibility. Instead, You control what it is that you can control, which is who you are being and how you're showing up. Maybe you're working on healing your past. You're working on cultivating certain tools and skills that I will share that are going to cultivate long-term happy relationships. So you're in control of all of that, but trying to control who's going to be your partner is like trying to control the weather tomorrow. That's just not your responsibility, but you can control when you wake up. You can set the alarm. I want to wake up at 7 a.m. So I want to manifest this type of partner. I want to manifest this type of life. Yeah, you can do that. And then you need to be that person, right? So you can control all of that. So it's recognizing what you have control over and what you do not have control over so that you can lay the heavy lifting to the universe and focus on, am I being who I want to be? Am I allowing my life to be the most joyous and happy and abundant and filled with love that it could possibly be in this moment on the journey from here to there? Because that's what matters. The majority of your life, you're going to be in this gap between I'm here and I want to be here. I'm single. I want to be in this relationship. I gained some weight. I want to lose some weight. I'm making money. I want to make more money. I have this job. I want a different job. The majority of your life, you're manifesting, you're creating. And so your work revolves around the gap, who you're being in that space between where you are and where you want to be. That's what matters most. And that is why I am happily single and why I was also happily in partnership, because I'm not making my happiness dependent upon circumstances. I'm making myself happy with the ingredients that I have, whether I am single or in partnership, whether I have gained extra pounds because I ate my way through Italy, or I'm super fit because I'm doing yoga and hiking and biking every day, right? And so it's really taking responsibility for your happiness and your feelings and not making it dependent on the external. But the beautiful catch 22 and paradox of manifestation is that when you're feeling that way on the inside, it will be reflected back to you on the outside. Now, exactly. So divine union. I know everybody could define this differently. And so my definition or how I would view this really has to do with my life mission, my life purpose, my life desire. And so my desire in life is to be the best version of myself. What the heck does that mean? It means I'm connected to my heart. I am as closely connected to unconditional love as I can be. It means I'm connected to my higher self and my intuition and unconditional love, right? As I can be, as above, so below. And so my life mission is, how the heck do I figure out how to be as loving and centered as I can, connected to my higher self, fulfilling my higher purpose? That's who I am in a nutshell. The reason that I would ever enter into divine union is because my partner's going to meet me there, meaning he's supportive and he has a similar goal of connecting to his heart and unconditional love as deeply as he can, while also connecting to his higher self and fulfilling his life's purpose. And so for me with divine union, it's two individuals who are coming together who have this higher purpose of being their best selves, connecting to their heart, like connecting to their, like their mission in life. So it's almost like this triangle. So anything less than that, I'm unavailable for, because this is who I am and what I'm doing. So if I'm going to be in union with someone, like it's going to be this gorgeous triangular where the pinnacle is we're lifting each other up and supporting each other's shared missions of being our best selves, connecting to our heart and rippling that out into the planet and changing the world. So that's my mission. And that's how I see divine union for me.
Talk about the sexiest ripple ever.
It's a hot threesome.
It's, yeah, right.
it's so touching how do you follow Eyes In? He's this is wild, because we met with another couple who are in a divine union partnership and they explained it similarly. Mm-hmm. Not quite with the triangle, but like really a similar essence to what you shared. Mm-hmm. And this man Eyes In, I purchased one of his workshops and he spoke of the triangle, right? Like we are in service. We each are in service to our Dharma, to our truth, mm-hmm. right? And that is like of the highest, like we're serving the elevation and up-leveling of consciousness. And we're both here to support each other in that. And you just explained it in the same way. And what's coming through is there are divine union codes, right? And everyone's just translating them through their own filter, their own filtration mm-hmm. system. And it just gave me full body chills when you were like, it's like a triangle. And I was like, it is. Mm-hmm. It's like the masculine on one side, the feminine on the other, and then like God, consciousness, the universe on top, right? Like, yep. And we're equally in service and to the divine, to our path to service. Yes. So yes. Anyway, that was really kismet and beautiful that you shared that. Mm-hmm. I think what's coming through is something in the shadow right now that I'd love to dive into, just in the likes of what can get in the way of meeting a divine partnership. Like when you're connecting with clients or just in general through your own experience in life, like yeah. What do you feel is the largest obstacle between an individual and the fulfillment of a divine union prophecy?
Sure. So it kind of ties
and in. Just mm-hmm. really briefly, maybe also just like circling back to the second question I asked too about, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those can go together. Maybe we go into the shadow yeah. first and then the yes. light after.
I didn't forget. I was actually going to tie them together and say it actually really ties into what uh-huh. makes a relationship work and what could get in the way of that mm-hmm. divine union, right? And so if we think about the qualities, the characteristics of what is going to make a long-term relationship work, you have to know who you are. You have to know what you want. You have to understand your triggers, your shadows, your dark sides, your baggage. And ideally, you have done work to work through that, but you're never trying to be perfect because there is no perfection. We're human beings. We're in this constant growth and evolution over lifetimes. Like there is no perfection. However, the growth mindset is oh so important. Because if you're expecting to stay the same, and the only thing I could ever promise any human being on the planet is that everything is going to change, then that relationship's not going to work, especially for men and women who are on the spiritual path, the path of personal development, which is all of my clients. And I have experienced this in past relationships as well. If I'm on this trajectory of growth and he's not, the relationship is not going to last. It just won't. And so that's why I view my work with my clients as preventative, meaning preventative of divorce, preventative of heartbreak, because you really want to make sure you're at that same level, that same trajectory, but you are going to grow at different levels and you're not going to grow in the same way. Like just because I enroll in courses and masterminds and listen to certain types of podcasts or go on certain types of retreats does not mean that my partner's journey would need to be the exact same. And so it's important that both are embracing growth, both are open-minded, both know who they are and what they want, both are able to have the emotional intelligence to communicate when they're triggered or activated or upset or wounded. What are other skill sets that I would say? So communication, I believe, is a big one. Emotional intelligence is a big one. Growth mindset is a big one. Have dug in and healed your past is a big one. Like those I would say are the top things. But then there's also shared life vision, shared relationship vision, shared values. How do I feel when I'm with this person? Like all of that matters. Do we have compatibility? Do we have companionship? Like it's a lot when you really dig into the bigness of divine union and the clarity in what you want. These types of relationships are not going to be a dime a dozen. And this is why a lot of people on this path right now are single, because they're really making sure they're in a space of I'm ready for my person. But you don't have to be perfect because we can still learn and grow together. But if we look at maybe the shadows, the challenges, the dark side of when I would suggest that a man or a woman is not dating or not in partnership is when they really have some big trauma, some big wounds, or when they don't trust themselves. If they don't know who they are, if they don't know what they want. Now, mind you, of course, dating can help you figure that out. But it also might be really good for you to figure that out on your own or to go to therapy and to go through healing modalities. And so it's going to be unique for every single individual. So I can't really give a blanket statement of, in this case, you should date. And in this case, you should not. You should just focus on going to therapy with your therapist. But ultimately, what I would always suggest is that everybody is focusing on these tools that are going to support you in lifelong partnership, and not because you're trying to get in a lifelong relationship, but because you want to have the best relationship possible with yourself and others. That's communication. Mm-hmm. That's boundaries. Mm-hmm. That's knowing who you are. That's healing your shit. That's looking at your shadow, on and on and on. So all of these tools to support you in being your best version of yourself, as close to your higher self as you can, are going to support you in divine union.
Hmm. Yeah, what I'm hearing is that really these relationships are harnessing and polishing and perfecting all of these tools in our tool belt of relating that we can apply into all of our relationships that are going to benefit us, our relationship with ourselves, our relationship with our children, our family, our friends. And kind of to reverse that definition of divine union too, something that Heather and I have been talking about is how we can find divine union with friends, with business partners, with siblings, with a stranger. Like if we're coming into that place of resonance, with such deep resonance, and someone is truly that mirror, and we're able to meet them as they've met themselves and their divinity, and we're able to meet them in that same place with our relationship with the divine, then do you believe that we can really experience divine union with infinite relationships, with infinite faces, with infinite souls? Or do you kind of ascribe that there's like a one person for you lifetime mindset?
So what comes up for me is actually how A Course in Miracles describes love and partnership and unconditional love. And ultimately how A Course in Miracles describes it is that there's only one form of love. There's not special love dedicated to your significant other or special love dedicated to your children or your best friend, but there is just love. Mm. And I think it can be challenging to be in that space where you're offering the same type of love to everyone, to the beggar on the street versus your partner versus your best friend versus that girl who was a bitch to you in eighth grade. Like, that's a pretty challenging spiritual journey to be on, to be in that space of love or divine union with the universe, with everybody you come across. And then we also need to add a little caveat there, which is part of love is having boundaries. Part of love is saying, like, this is how you get to interact with me. Like, unconditional love in a relationship is actually not healthy, because unconditional love would be, you can walk all over me, I love you so much, like, do whatever you want. It's like, no, that's actually not unconditional love. Being unconditional loving to yourself is being clear in who you are and what you want and my boundaries and how it is that you are going to treat me. But that's not to say that you can't be filled up with unconditional love and be connected to self and heart and source and the divine. So yeah, I think a lot of what women especially get wrong is on their quest for love, they come from this place of give, but they're not honoring their own needs or their own boundaries. And that's not unconditional love. We could also use the example of a mother and child. If the mother makes it all about the child, then she's also lacking. It's like, you have to put on your own oxygen mask first. And then also, what's the example she's setting for her child? Like, it's not about me, it's all about you. And then that child's going to grow up with one or two mentalities, either A, just like mommy, which is, my needs don't matter, I need to give to everyone else, or the opposite end of the spectrum, it's all about me and nobody else matters. And so that's when it's like codependency or narcissism in a way, right? And so we have to have our own source and center and connect to self and not really have it be about the other person. Then we can come together in divine union, because you have two very strong individuals who are connected to heart, connected to source, know who they are, know what they want, have the boundaries, have the communication skills, and they come together to have this interdependent dance.
So beautiful. Yeah. What's coming up specifically around boundaries, which I'm so grateful that you brought that into the conversation of divine union, because I grew up in an environment where it was boundaryless and like, love was above all else in Catholicism, and divorce was a sin. So it was like, I accept everything that you are, I accept everything you do. It doesn't matter how you treat me. So I've had to do a lot of rewiring around that myself. And I still am in that space, and I'm really committed to it. And what just kept coming up was like, where do our boundaries have flexibility? Specifically in the process of beginning to date and see people, it's like, how do you begin to define your non-negotiables and then let everything else fall away? And like, where do you have this malleability and flexibility in the process of like, oh, I'm actually willing to kind of, you know, soften a bit around this and like meet you where you are.
Yep. Great question. And I just gave a talk on this around, are you being too picky? And what are the categories that it's important that you're picky and you have your boundaries around versus what are the categories that you can be more flexible? And so with your non-negotiables, with your values, with your life vision, those are the areas to have your boundaries in. Of like, no, like this is where I'm headed. This is what I want. These are my non-negotiables. And so non-negotiables might revolve along the lines of, I know that I really want children. But here's an interesting thing. One of my past clients, she and her ex broke up because she knew that she wanted children and he was uncertain, he was unclear, and he was kind of leaning towards no. And so after they broke up and we started working together and really diving into what it is that she wants, she started swinging over to the pendulum of, maybe I don't want kids. Maybe that's not actually for me. And so her recent non-negotiable kind of shifted into the middle category of heart's desire. Maybe like I'm open to kids, but also maybe I'm not. And so this is where it's kind of tricky to say like, this for sure is my non-negotiable, because it might change. Mm-hmm. And so I would instead put boundaries more around how someone treats me. Are they respectful? Do they respond in a timeline or manner? I have my boundaries around masculine, feminine energy, meaning I know I'm the feminine role in partnership. So he's going to be the one leaning in. He's going to be the one pursuing, but I'm going to be receptive. I'm going to be warm. I'm going to show him the interest. But if he's not pursuing me, I'm not pursuing him. I don't know if that's a boundary or just a way that I'm acting. And so understanding your boundaries are really like lines in the sand of, if you treat me a certain way, that's a no for me. If you cheat on me, like I'm done with you. And other people might be like, okay, that's a conversation. Like, what was going on underneath the surface? Why is it that you felt like you had to go somewhere else? Where are we lacking in the communication? And so it's like, it's just so fluid, this conversation. It's so personal to every single human being. But the way I define my personal boundaries is, I show up in a certain way. I treat people in a certain way, and I expect them to treat me the same in reply, in response. And I hold my boundaries and standards with my friends, with my clients, with my partners, with my family members. Like, nobody gets a free pass. If you're going to play in my sandbox and be in my life, you are going to treat me the same way that I treat you. It's the whole golden rule, right? And so those are my boundaries, like how it is that I live my life. And so if I'm in a polyamorous open relationship, that's completely different than if I'm in a monogamous closed relationship. So the boundaries will be different for these different individuals. So it's really understanding, what are my rules of engagement? Like, what feels right and good and best for me? And then I have to be the one to hold those boundaries. I teach other people how to treat me.
Yeah, I love everything that you're saying around this, and just being adaptable with how the boundaries are going to inevitably shift as we are changing. Like, you sharing that story about the client you worked with, it really rung deeply within me, because that was something that I thought that I really wanted. I thought I wanted to have kids. I thought I needed to live with my partner. Like, I had these really rigid ideas of what I thought were non-negotiables, just because that's all I'd ever known from culture, from media, from my family's depiction of love and romance, and from previous relationships. And it's so interesting because, yeah, like manifesting, right? We, like, when we're calling in our partner, we write down all these things that we want. And I had such a long list for years. I was adding to this list, like, and then I finally met my partner and I go through the list and he matches every single one, minus like a couple physical ones. And I'm like, this is so silly. Like, why am I manifesting like the physical? That's like what was actually keeping me from calling him in, because I was you know, so focused on these physical outside things. But coming back to the boundaries, like for me, it's like the emotions and the heart and the connection and how I feel with him and the safety and the communication and the self-responsibility, like the more like embodied pieces that can't just be like, they're like their lifelong refinements, like that's what has been more important to me. And then I realized through our relationship, he has a kid, which I wasn't expecting, but because he has a kid, it actually has completely shifted the way I viewed wanting kids. And I'm like, you know what, actually, I've never really wanted a kid. I think this is just society telling me I'm supposed to have a kid. And like all my Shakti energy in my 30s is going towards my business. That's what feels really aligned towards my Dharma. And he has a kid who I like really vibe with. So like, why can't I just nurture her as a mother? Like I have a cat. Why can't I just nurture her as a mother? And maybe something I thought was a non-negotiable actually is like, this is the higher plan for me that I wouldn't have even attuned to if I wouldn't have been on this journey, this divine union journey. And, you know, strong boundaries around living alone. Well, look at where I am now. I'm so grateful I'm living alone. This is the medicine I needed. So just like being flexible with the boundaries that we have, especially with the physical ones that we place and that might be more societally based, and really getting clear on like what it is that I actually need in my evolution and relationship at this point in my life, and just being open to how that can change before Xing someone off just because they might not fit all the criteria that you initially have set.
Oh my God. I have two quick client stories exactly related to that. One client story, she made the list just like you did. And within a week of working together, she met the man who ticked every single box on her list. She's like, holy shit, Emerald, like this was fast. But after one or two dates with him, she realized she didn't feel safe. She didn't feel heard. She didn't feel seen. She didn't feel respected. She's like, oh, it's not actually the list that matters. It's part of that, sure, let's say matters, some of the non-negotiables, but it's how you feel when you're with him. And so that was a really beautiful awakening for her around it's not ticking the boxes. Now, I think of another client example where she met a man who was not her traditional list. Like her type was tall, dark, and handsome and wealthy and blah, 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 blah. And the man that she's actually now engaged to, she said, she's like, you know, yes, he's attractive, but he wasn't my type. I wouldn't have picked him out of the crowd and been like, you're the one. She's like, but he's so much more. He's not everything on my list. Like he doesn't even make as much money as me. She's like, but that actually doesn't matter because every single day I'm with him, I feel loved. I feel grateful. I feel seen. I feel heard. I feel cherished. Like she's like, that's actually what I want in a partner. And so there's certain things. Yeah. Have your boundaries, non-negotiables around, but then there's certain things like Mr. Tall, Dark, and Handsome and makes $1 million. Like if he's a complete a-hole, you're not going to be happy and satisfied in that relationship. Now, mind you, if like money and good looks is all that matters, then that's fine. You can have that, but you're missing out on the depth of actual connection with your partner. And so a lot of my clients have ended up with men who aren't their traditional type. And the thing is, if you're going based on looks, you're in your masculine energy. If you're attracted to a man before you know who it is that he is, before you understand how it is he's treating you, you're in your masculine energy. Think about it. Men are naturally attracted to looks. A beautiful woman will turn the head of a man, but who she is why he would choose to stay with her. Otherwise, she's just going to be something pretty to look at or a one night stand. It's her depth. It's his connection to her heart that he really wants. A masculine man wants to connect to the feminine essence of a woman. And so that's why we are the gatekeepers of sex. And we've got to wait. We've got to make sure we're trusting his lead before we say yes. So if you're focusing once again on the looks before you get to know someone, you're in your masculine energy. But if you're connected to your heart and paying attention to how do I feel when I'm with this person, and you're not going to know till you meet them in person. And so that's feminine energy. And that's why I tell my clients, I might go out on a date with any man who's at least, let's say, a 5 or a 6, because I promise you, when you get to know him, he will become more attractive to you should getting to know him be positive. But you could also meet a man who's a 10 out of 10 and you get to know him and he is a complete a-hole, and all of a sudden you're not attracted to him anymore. Like, we've all had that experience. And so putting the emphasis on looks as a feminine woman is not a good idea. It means you're in your masculine.
Yeah. The truth of the relationship and what I'm hearing you say is how we feel. It's not our like thoughts about someone, our egoic constructs around like how they should be and how they should show up. But really, as we zoom out in this conversation, it's just coming back to the beauty and the magic of love and how irrational it is, right? We can sit here and like click, 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 and do all of the math and all of the organization and get everything ready. And then all of a sudden, it's kind of like, it feels like love is just kind of like a bus hitting you. Sometimes you're just like, whoa, like this was incredibly unexpected, but I feel deeply safe around you. I feel at home. I feel like I am emotionally safe. I can be all of me around you. And this just was a surprise. And I hear that through other friends' examples. And I've felt that in my life where it's just like the last thing that I was expecting. And then here comes this person out of left field. And I really just love that the truth of the relationship is how you feel, how your body feels around them.
Yeah, it's important to feel safe. Yeah, and it's also important to mention that the woman and man, but especially since we're talking about women, the woman needs to do her work to feel safe and trust herself, or else she's never really going to feel safe around a man or be able to trust a man. And so this is also where it's a reminder that the partner is going to reflect back to you who it is that you're being.
Yeah, this is like directly tying into the next question I have for you, which is, as it comes to the heart and the feminine essence and the emotional intelligence and vulnerability and all of these skills that are really integral to sustaining a relationship go, as we traverse divine union and we go past the honeymoon period and the bliss, and we start to enter and we start to really meet somebody in their rawness and in their chaos and in their shadow, right? I feel collectively, individually and collectively, that right now there's a really big heart activation happening in the higher heart and in the masculine energy, not just in a masculine body, but in the masculine energy that's really being called forth to open and expand and feel in deeper ways than the masculine has known or been given a roadmap for how to feel. And the feminine essence is really guiding that journey right now. And I guess I'm wondering, from your experience working with lots of different couples, and from just your own personal experience, like, what is the best way? What's the best strategy? What is most loving pathway that the feminine essence can serve for the masculine to fully drop into his heart, drop into his emotions, and to meet us in that wild feminine feeling?
So here's the thing where I'm going to push back a little bit. We don't actually want our man to meet us there in the depths of matching our emotion. We want our man to hold us and to be the anchor, to be the river bank, while we are the ones experiencing the crazy, wild feminine emotion. And so we don't want our man to be a woman. We want our man to be a man. We want him to be able to hold the depth of emotion, which means he also needs to recognize the difference in you are you and I am me. I'm not responsible for your feelings. However, I recognize that my actions have an effect on your feelings. And of course, in divine union and partnership, we want to support each other in doing and feeling our best. And so this is where conversation comes in. This is where emotional intelligence and maturity comes in. And so as the woman, I think it's really important that we learn how to communicate to a man that we're not making him responsible for our feelings, that we communicate to a man, I just need to vent. I just need to get it all out. You don't even need to answer. You don't even need to offer a solution. I just need you to be here and hold space. Mm-hmm. And so again, it's coming down to a woman really knowing herself and being able to communicate and ask for what she wants. And when you're doing this in the beginning, when you're dating, ultimately you're pre-qualifying, is this man going to be able to hold me there? And I remember with my ex that I was dating in Mexico, I had a very emotional female moment. He was out to dinner with another woman, and it wasn't a date, but he was out to dinner with another woman. And then he and I were supposed to meet up afterwards, and he was late, but he didn't text me. She did. And it brought some stuff up. And I was so fucking pissed at him. Like, I was livid. I was pacing through the living room to the point where I was like, I need to leave the house and pace around the block. And as I was leaving my house, he was coming in and he just took one look at my face and he was like, uh-oh. And I was like, walk with me. And so we just had laps around the block and I got it all out and went back to my apartment. And I continued to talk and talk and talk until it was all out and it was all clear. And he just held such space and such masculine energy and such grounding. He didn't react. He didn't respond. He wasn't defensive. And when all was said and done, I asked him, I was like, how were you able to hold such grounded space? He's like, because I knew it wasn't about me. Exactly. It wasn't about him. It was how his actions affected my feelings, but it was based on my wounding and my background. Any other woman would have responded differently. If I was busy working till 9 p.m., I wouldn't even have noticed that he was running late from his first engagement before it was that he was going to meet me. And so that's also a grounded masculine man. So me as a single woman, I'm interviewing, I'm making sure, is he at that space? Can he hold the entire depth of what it means to be a woman? But I'm not lashing out and making it out to be his fault and his problem. It's me expressing who I am and knowing that this is going to shift and change and flow. And once I get it all out, I'm going to feel a lot better too, because that's also being in your feminine energy. If we bring biology and science into this, women naturally have 10 to 20 times more estrogen than men. And one of the ways that we raise our estrogen is talking about our feelings, talking about our problems, talking about our desires without someone trying to fix it or offer a solution, which is why 90% of people that go to therapists are women, which is why my coaching clients, the first half of our session, I just let them talk, because it raises our estrogen and helps us feel better. Whereas for a man, raising his estrogen doesn't help him feel better. Fixing a problem raises his testosterone. That helps him feel better. This is why the divine polarity between masculine and feminine is so beautiful, and why traditional gender roles in a way are so supportive to men and women feeling and doing their best in relationship. So understanding yourself, understanding the differences between men and women. I realize we're talking about heterosexual couples here, but go with me. Understanding yourself, understanding your partner, understanding communication is really going to support you in partnership and lasting love.
Wow, thank you for that beautiful divine redirect. It hits deep. And it isn't something, I guess, like from your perspective, like when I am in that chaos and that feminine fullness, like I've told this to my partner, I'm like, all I need for you is to be present and to be in your heart. Like, you don't need to say a word, just to be present and anchored in. And like, that is truly, like you're saying, like that is the medicine that helps the feminine to feel in her fullness. But oftentimes we as women have been traumatized, because when we have been in our fullness and our expression, it hasn't felt safe, you know, from our parents or from past lovers. Like, they've said it's too much. They've taken it personally. They've fought back. It turns into like a battle. Or they've just they pushed away, they pull away completely. Mm-hmm. So like, if we are in these situations where our partners are pulling away, there maybe sometimes they're able to anchor us, and then other times they're just really like not able to hold the space. How can we help? How can we help them? How can we help them to meet us in that heart space of anchoring in, where it's not personal?
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is where I think just communication is important. Like you were saying, I don't need you to even answer this. I don't need you to solve this. I just need you to hold space. And quite honestly, if he is not available, go to a girlfriend, go to a therapist, call your mother. Your partner is not meant to be your everything. Mm-hmm. And so vice versa, you're not meant to be your partner's therapist or mother or coach. You're meant to be his partner. which is different. So many women think they want their man to open up. No, they don't, because that would make him more feminine. You want a masculine man whose lead it is that you trust. So you're going to have different roles. And so communicating is important, and asking for what you need and want is important. But if consistently your partner cannot meet your needs and wants, then why the hell are you in that relationship?
Yeah, this is hitting my heart so deeply, just in recognizing, as we jumped into non-negotiables before, just coming online to a non-negotiable for me, and that's emotional safety and a man's ability to be able to hold the vastness and spaciousness of my emotion, of my feminine emotion. Yeah. And I've never, in a committed partnership, I've never fully met that. And so, yeah, it just really hit me in this moment. And I'm so grateful for this conversation. What's moving through my body in this moment and landing so deeply. So thank you. Mm-hmm. We're on the verge of wrapping up this beautiful conversation, which I feel like could go on for a lifetime.
I do want to just say one more piggyback thing off of what you said, Heather, and what you said, Emerald, and that is like going back to self-responsibility. And like, just as we're communicating, this isn't about you, this is just my emotional process. We can also understand that if there's some resistance and holding space for us, it's not personal, it's not about us, it's reflection of their own ability to hold their own emotions, just as it is for us. So well, in both ways,
if he's taking it personally, or if he's getting defensive. And it also matters what you're bringing up. And so here's another thing. If you're expressing the depth of your emotion, complaining about your partner, honestly, that's a big no-no. Do not do that. Do not complain to your partner about your partner, because all he's going to do is withdraw or become defensive or push back. And so part of healthy relating is you go to your girlfriend or a therapist. If you need to bitch about your partner, get it all out so that you can come back to your partner in a very emotional, stable place, of which the masculine can easily respond to, because then it's like, we have a problem I would like to fix, rather than, I can't believe you did this, you're such a fucking asshole, whatever it is, like that is unhealthy relating. And so one thing I do want to say, which is why a lot of men have wounding around this, is that women don't fully understand the appropriate times to be in that big flow. And so one thing I believe in is, no, you don't complain to your partner about your partner. Like, would that, if I was like Heather and I just complained to you about you, would that inspire you to change? Like, would you be like, wow, Emerald, thanks so much for dumping on me. What a shithead I am. Like, no, like that wouldn't work. But if I came to you and said, Heather, you know, like the other day when you did or said this, I felt really disrespected. It really hurt. Like, are you available to have a conversation about this, or whatever it is, right? So when we're talking to our men, we need to be, if it's about them, in an emotionally stable place, if it has to do with them, versus let's say you're complaining about your job. But think about it this way also. So let's say you're complaining about your job and how much work it is. Well, a man, because he takes responsibility, because he's the provider, in a way, he might actually take you complaining about your job personally, because then he's like, shit, I should be making more money so that she doesn't have to work. Her problems at her job is actually my fault. And so this is where it is kind of tricky, knowing like that a man wants to take full responsibility if he's in his masculine energy. And so I do think it is important that we have our girlfriends, that we have our therapists, that we have our coaches, and that we don't make our partner our everything. That is not healthy.
Is what I'm hearing. It's just, yeah, it's a really delicate dance where we also have the capability to self-soothe, you know, and sort through what's coming up for us and really begin to compartmentalize and say, okay, this is worth speaking into. Like, let me explore this a bit more. And like, this is something of mine that I can internally explore and then let go of. In that you're not making your partner everything.
No, you're taking,
there's this divine balance.
Yep, yeah, exactly. And you're taking personal responsibility. Like that is, I take 100% responsibility for everything in my life. My partner is for co-creation. My partner is to add to my happiness levels, but my partner is not responsible for anything in my life. Mind you, if we're together and we're co-creating, then we're going to have certain agreements and certain shared visions. And of course, certain ways that we can support and help each other, but it has to be two whole, complete, taking responsibility for yourself, individuals that are coming together. That's going to be a super healthy relationship.
Yeah. Just hearing you share, I'm like looking at my relationship, all my previous relationships, and looking at like when I was just dumping on them, my emotions, and really outsourcing my ability to self-soothe or go to a friend and come back to them. And like, I'm looking now at the situations that landed, like, when was my partner able to hold me? Oh yeah, when I was taking responsibility, when I was coming from a grounded place, or when it had nothing to do with him and it was just me expressing and he could feel that, versus like latching on and being like, kind of like arguing or like blaming and then expecting the masculine to like have empathy and hold you in your emotional chaos when you're like kind of nitpicking them. It's like, of course they're not going to be able to hold you. Like they're getting defensive because they feel attacked. And then you're asking them to hold your emotions, like to have compassion for you. I don't know. I'm just really like seeing a lot more responsibility where I've played that role in relationships and then expected them to hold all of me, but I wasn't even able to hold all of me.
Exactly. Boom. Well said. Beautiful reflection. And this is how every relationship is just an opportunity to grow. There is no shame in who you were. Like, I've made every single mistake in the book, which is how I've gotten to where I am today, because I've been in these types of relationships. I've been passive aggressive. I've been angry. I've been the bitch. I've pointed the finger. Like, I've done it all. Like, I get it. I understand. And there is a healthier, more evolved way to go about it, but you can't shortcut it. You have to go through these learning experiences in order to get there.
Yeah, there's something like feeling, there's an intense feeling coming up for me that I'd love to explore. And there's been some talk about it in the community here in Tulum and just with friends. And it's about this concept of like taking your emotions, processing them, putting them into a box that you think that masculine can handle, as opposed to just being like a clear and divine channel in the moment and recognizing that that can get like messy and intense sometimes. But knowing that if it's like coming from a true space of like emotion, in that moment, do you feel like that's a space to share? You know, like it's like divine energy moving through our body, as opposed to saying like, okay, I'm going to go put this into a box and like process it and just be like, okay, I don't think you're capable of handling all of me. So like, I'm going to give you a piece of it with this pretty bow on it. And I've been like, I don't have the answer, but I would love to open up the conversation to see what's alive for both of us in it. And yeah, where the line is and like how we explore that.
It's going to be different for every individual, right? Like the example I gave you where in that moment, I can't explain it, but like I was livid at him. It was like, how dare you be out at dinner with another woman and be late to meet me? And then she texted me and why weren't you the one who told me you were, you know, it's like, I can't explain why all of that came up. And in that moment, it felt right to share with him. Or maybe in that moment, like I was so in my feeling and he just happened to show up at that time. It was just like, well, then here we go. But I also have enough emotional intelligence and maturity that it's like, even when I'm fucking livid, I'm still able to maintain my composure, which is I realize this is my shit and it has nothing to do with you. And any other woman in the situation would react differently because of her own individual experience. So there really isn't a one size fits all. Like, you know, I also think about an argument with a partner I had many years ago where it's like, he was livid at me. And I was like, I understand you're angry, but I do not deserve to be treated this way. I'm leaving for a couple of hours to give you time to calm down. When I come back, then we can talk. So, you know, why in that situation did I approach it that way? Whereas in the other situation, I didn't. Like, there's no rhyme or reason. You're just going to have to trust yourself of like, is it right for me to be expressing this in this moment? Or do I need to take a time out and a break and go process and then come back? And there is no blanket answer for every human being in every situation. Like, you're just going to navigate. You're going to figure it out as you go along. There's been times even with girlfriends where in the moment it's like, no, I need to address this now. And I am pissed. And there's been times where it's like, no, let me really process and reflect and like what's actually going on underneath the surface. Then come to my girlfriend and have this challenging conversation.
Yeah, much like relationships, there the process is consistently evolving and reshaping itself. Yeah, that feels really resonant. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what I'm hearing is it comes back to communication and self-responsibility. So if you do feel like you're really triggered emotionally and you need to vent and you want your partner to support you, maybe even something that would be helpful is just communicating in that moment, hey, like, I just have a lot of emotions that are coming through. I take responsibility for them. It's not about you. But just like even saying something like that could really anchor in like some safety for the masculine to feel like more able to support.
Yes, absolutely. And so in general, women are better communicators and able to connect between thoughts and feelings simply because of how our brains are different than male brains. And so we are typically the leader of communication in a relationship. And so we can express what it is that we need. And you gave a really beautiful example to help the masculine feel safe, which is, I just need to vent. This isn't about you. Or I'm feeling so much emotion right now and it needs to come out. Please don't take it personally. Like, is it okay? Or would you just hold me when I cry? Right? Like, we can communicate and speak up and ask for what it is that we want. But again, it still has to come down to knowing yourself and having healthy communication skills.
Mm-hmm. First, we get to date ourselves.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So cool. And one more thing I want to say here is that in a relationship, like, who were you before when you were single? If you were super upset and triggered and you're single, how would you handle it? So again, our partners aren't meant to be our everything. If you did not have a partner to go to, how would you be processing this feeling and emotion? Would you meditate? Would you journal? Would you scream? Would you cry? Would you dance it out? Would you talk to a girlfriend? Would you go to a therapist? Like, how would you handle it as a single woman and not putting it all on your partner? Self-responsibility. Mm-hmm. And of course, in partnership, we're here to support each other, but we're not meant to be each other's everything.
That's back to full circle. That's the divine union, having that union within, so that you're not grasping and reaching and expecting from someone else something that you don't, can't give to yourself or don't already have activated within your being. Thank you so much for this conversation, Emerald. I feel feeling super activated. Like, a lot of uncertainties I feel are like clicking and crystallizing into my being right now. I'm feeling really energized and excited. And like, I have this whole new frame on relationships and love. So thank you so much.
My pleasure. I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah, such deep gratitude to have you here with us and just to really feel the level of clarity that I spoke into at the beginning of the show that you embody and that you share with the world. And your work is so important. And I feel like the clutter that was in my head before is starting to kind of dissolve, and like my eyes are opening and I'm like, okay, I can work with this. Like, this is manageable now. With that being said, wanting to thank you for your time and energy today and coming on the show. And we are Cis Society, and we have these conversations every week with different leading minds of the new earth, such as this one right here with Emerald Sinclair. And we welcome you to and invite you to follow both our Instagram, our YouTube, and our Spotify podcast if you desire to continue being a part of these conversations. And before we hop off, Emerald, you have so much to offer within the space of your coaching programs and one-on-one sessions. I would love to give you the opportunity to just share what's alive for you in that space, maybe a bit about what you offer and how people can get in touch with and work with you.
Yeah, thank you for offering me that space.
You're welcome.
I love directing people to my Instagram at Manifest with Emerald and my podcast, Manifest It All, because there's so much juicy wisdom and nuggets there. And on the podcast or on the Instagram, like, that's where I tend to talk more about current offerings that I have going on. In general, I will maybe have a couple spots open for private coaching. And then the group coaching will happen once or sometimes even twice a year. And I even have a monthly membership that's an all-access pass to all of my courses and programs for the woman who's going to go at her own pace. But in general, in a nutshell, my work on this planet is supporting single women move through their challenges in dating and relationships in order to call in that divine union. And as we talked about today, it means that you're doing your work to become that person on your own so that it's two complete individuals coming together. And so whether I'm working with a woman privately one-on-one or in the group setting, or she's going through the membership, she's going to receive that type of support just at different levels, let's just say. Oh, and then I also have a book. I don't know why I always forget to mention my book.
You have a book?
Yeah, I do. I have one right over there in a little basket. So I have a client flying in for our first session tomorrow, and I created a little gift basket for her, including my book, so I could sign it and write her a little love note. But my book is called Destination Soulmate, and it's an 8-week journey of personal development and clarity in who you are and what you want to manifest the love of your life and life of your dreams. So if you haven't read Destination Soulmate, that's available on Amazon. Also on Kindle. So no matter where it is in the world that you are. And what I did is I adapted one of my courses on self-love and manifesting love into book form so that I could reach more people. And I've had clients experience incredible results just by reading the book. And then I've had clients read the book and be like, okay, I need Emerald one-on-one, and then transition into private coaching and have incredible results. So there's a lot of amazing content within the book. And one thing I do want to say is you have to do the work though. You can't just read the book. You can't just listen to a podcast interview. Like, you have to then show up and do the deep inner work that's necessary to have the shifts in your life.
Thank you for speaking into that. And I'm literally going to buy your book right when we get off the call.
Yay. That brings joy to my heart.
Oh, it's making my heart sing. I mean, we decided to do Divine Union this month, and I knew it was going to be an initiation for me. And sure enough, it has, you know, like all of my shit is coming up. I'm looking at everything. I'm questioning what I want and what I don't want. And, you know, I'm moving through this process, and it just feels like your book would be the beautiful cherry on Sunday of this topic for us. So thank you for sharing that you're also an author. And yeah, this woman's gold. If you just listened to this episode, you already know. Please connect with her if you desire to deepen with her. Thank you, Elfina, for your time and energy. I love you so much. I'm so grateful to be sitting beside you and serving the planet in this way with you. And again, thank you, Emerald, for being here. And again, we're Cis Society. This is Taboo Talks, and we look forward to seeing you for the next conversation next time. Here, same place.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Taboo Talks. We wouldn't be here without you. And don't miss a single second of these juicy conversations where we continue traversing the new earth with leading minds. Subscribe and share these important conversations to be a part of the Cis Society movement.